Welcome to A Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas.
Oh, Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind.
Everything from shopping to decorating to books and movies for our favorite holiday season. You can see him on Netflix with the new show Holiday Home Makeovers with Mr. Christmas. And Benjamin Bradley is a longtime friend of the podcast. In this episode, we talk to him about how that relationship started and grew, and we revisit the world of vintage Christmas. But first, with Christmas news, I'm Mary Richards. Now, the Christmas news section seems to be all about how things have changed during the pandemic. The latest one is the annual Christmas Expo Holiday Lighting and Decorating Conference in Las Vegas. That's going to be in a webinar fashion this year. One class is all about how to set up the best display for your home or business. It's one of the most popular classes. The 50th anniversary of the Festival of Trees in Salt Lake City will also be virtual this year because of COVID. It's a fundraiser for Primary Children's Hospital. But they promise their website will be fun and interactive to help people who make it a tradition to walk among the decorated trees. A tree in Rockefeller Center will be on display, we're told, but we don't know yet anything about a public tree lighting. They're not sure yet if they want the crowds. And right now, New York wants visitors to quarantine if they enter the state. Radio City Music Hall's Christmas Spectacular and New York City Ballet's The Nutcracker will not be happening. British retailers are worried about Christmas shopping because their country is now going into another lockdown. Shops selling non-essential items have been ordered to close, at least until December 2nd. Retailers say this is nothing less than a nightmare before Christmas. Target is going to have a reservation system at its stores around the U.S. to cut down on crowds in the shopping season. They say you'll wait outside or reserve a spot in line on their website, and then the store will text you when it's your turn to go inside. And that's Christmas news. Now here's Ricky Meese.
For over a year now, you've been hearing and learning about the wonderful world of vintage Christmas with Benjamin Bradley. His insights, experience, and knowledge has been a huge part of making this podcast successful. And Benjamin just simply makes learning about the intricate details and historical backgrounds fun. But a lot of people don't know the background story of how we became true Christmas friends. Now, Benjamin, you're with me, and I'm going to share my side of this story. I reached out to you completely unawares. I know you were shocked to get this message from me. I reached out to you through a mutual Christmas Facebook group in a private message. I said something to the effect of, I notice your posts, the photos stand out differently than everybody else. Would you consider being a guest on my podcast? Do you remember that?
Of course I do. And, well, one, good to be back again. Thank you so much. But of course, I mean, are you kidding? It was the beginning of a very, very dear and wonderful relationship so far. So, oh, of course. And anytime anyone reaches out to me about Christmas, of course I'm going to respond.
Well, you know, on my end, all I could think of was, this guy is going to think I'm wacko. But I could tell you either were good with photography, you had an eye for design, or both. And it turns out I was right, because I can remember one simple little post, and it was a Halloween or a fall post, and you had some of your vintage and antique holiday items, and all you did was throw a few pieces of candy corn and the autumn mix candy in front of it, and bam, it was done, and it stood off the page. And I thought, how does he do this? And then,
well, you are very kind. Thank you. It is interesting, though, because you can. I mean, I do the same thing. There are many times things get posted, and before I even look at the name, I know whose it is because they have a certain style. And so it's kind of fun to know that you can recognize sort of what I do via a style, because I don't necessarily think of myself as having a style. But I'm glad you're able to see something there. But no, I mean, I think it's just, you know, it's my inherent love of the things that I'm playing around with. It is, you know, God, the development of these iPhones has just made photography so accessible and makes everybody look like an Insta star. You know, I mean, it's just amazing what you can do with a cell phone camera as opposed to having to fidget around with a 35 millimeter. So yeah, it's just and it's fun. You know, it's another expression of creativity to see what you can capture and to actually for myself even, a lot of times it gives me a new view on the things that I collect when you see them through a lens. So it's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah, well, you do a great job. Well, I wanted to give everyone that background story because our listeners don't know that you and I have been sitting on a little secret since we first began working together. Now, I'm not going to give it away just yet, but here's a hint. It has to do with a major streaming service, and I am not going to lie. When I first realized this was happening, because this podcast was just getting started at the time, when I found out, oh my goodness, it was a jaw-dropping, grab-the-pearls moment for me. And I kid you not, I thought to myself, how in the world did I happen to stumble across and find this guy? And how is it he's agreeing to work with me on this tiny little podcast? So from then to now, I truly believe some things are just meant to be. So I can't wait to share this news with our sleigh bells and mistletoe Christmas friends a little later in this episode. But before we share
But I agree. I think things are meant to be, and so I'm excited to share it as well. So sorry to interrupt.
No. You are fine. It's so exciting. We're going to talk a little bit of vintage Christmas, as always. And this time, we're talking about tinsel. So, Benjamin, a lot of people don't even use tinsel on their trees anymore. But for those who do, it's that added element of sparkle that comes with deep roots. Now, tell us about its earliest beginnings.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I believe that the earliest forms of tinsel was called lametta. It comes from Germany, and it literally was thin, very thin strips of flexible lead that you were able to drape over individually the branches of the tree. And yes, you're right. Within the warmth of the candlelight that they lit their trees with, it would sort of move because of that warmth of the flame. And so it would give this just shimmery, sparkly midst of, you know, the winter's morn kind of thing. And so it started there. It was called the Meta. It, of course, as all things do, made its way to America in the early teens and was a huge thing. I mean, you'll find photographs of trees, black and white photographs of trees, that you're not even sure there's a tree under there because they are so heavily adorned with tinsel. When I was growing up, and it may just be the age difference or whatever, but I always thought that tinsel was the sort of garland that was, you know, either silver or gold, that sort of shiny,
yes,
fluffy kind of that.
Yeah, it's cross-changed with that. I don't know how it became that way, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't either, and I don't know if it's because, like, I remember I had an aunt who literally, she had a tree under there, but she took that silver garland and literally wrapped it so thickly that you could barely see the tree underneath. But so when I started to really, as I got older and started to really pay attention, because my family didn't use tinsel in the leaded tinsel or the icicles sort of scenario, I was mesmerized the first time I came across that. And many of the listeners are going to know that nowadays they are still made, they're on the market, but they're very, very lightweight. They're no longer made of a metal. They're actually sort of a mylar or a film sort of. So they still give that wafting, beautiful shimmer, but they don't have quite the same magic as they did. But yeah, so, you know, they reached probably their height of popularity right before World War II, I would imagine. But then, of course, you know, with the war and metals and stuff being rationed, they fell out of favor then for a while.
Yeah.
It is just magical. There's nothing like an old-fashioned C7 or a C9 colored light on an evergreen that's heated up. You smell that evergreen, and those tinsels are dangling there and just shimmering. It is about as magical and about as iconically Christmas as I think you could possibly get.
Yeah. And the way you described some of those earlier times with the candles on the tree and some of those old photographs, and you're right, just heavily laden with so many pieces of tinsel, it did seem to give almost an ethereal kind of feel to the Christmas tree. But you did mention a couple of things. You mentioned lead, and you mentioned the war. And so that's the thing about tinsel. From its earliest beginnings, it's changed dramatically over the years for some of those very reasons. So what Christmas shoppers find today are the lighter silver strips of what looks like plastic mylar, just like you just said, like the balloons. And it's
right.
Not at all how tinsel began. So these changes in our environment and in safety measures. I mean, to actually find lead tinsel today, and there are still people who look for it, most are aware that it really does come with a safety warning, correct?
It really does, actually, I think, in both areas. You know, when you do find the old lead tinsels, yes, you should definitely keep it away from children, keep it away from yourself. You know, once you've adorned the tree with it, wash your hands thoroughly. Don't touch your mouth or your face once you've been dealing with it. But, you know, once it's on the tree and stuff, there's no environmental. It's not like it's floating within the air or whatever. But, I mean, while the old lead is challenging for us, the mylar ones, of course, are extremely challenging for pets because, like we were talking about your little kitty earlier, they're very, pets get very attracted to these things that move and shine and shimmer. And so while the lead was harmful to us, the mylar is not exactly the best for pets. So be careful on all levels. I mean, it just both designs bear a little bit of fair warning. So,
well, even when the tinsel began changing and began to be manufactured differently, even with the war, for a very, very brief history lesson, how did the war change so much of our Christmas decorations? We know that lights went out for many years in many homes, even at the nation's capital. But how did it directly affect tinsel and maybe some ornaments?
Yeah, it is interesting because, you know, there just simply was not the raw goods to do these sort of superfluous kind of things. As important as the joy of Christmas was during those dark years, it just was not viable to make some of these wonderful, joyful things. So, yes, tinsel fell to the wayside. Ornaments, their metal caps became paper caps, as opposed to even silver lining the ornament so they gave a sparkle. They might inject just a little bit of tinsel inside of a clear glass ornament just so that it still had a little sparkle, but it took much less metal to give that same effect. A lot of things changed. You forget how far-reaching things such as war really changed things on every level.
And the Depression. The Depression would have people picking the tinsel off one by one, stretching it, laying it just immaculately on something to press it down and keep it for the next years to come. We were not at that stage a country that you just throw things away. You kept and hang on to them. So even after years of use, they may get crinkled, but that didn't seem to take away from their charm.
No, I agree. I mean, in fact, you know, I do save some of, you know, I don't use it every year on my tree, but occasionally when I really am longing for that nostalgic, when I'm trying to really create that Walton's homecoming Christmas tree, it's like, I will pull it out, and I will admit to you, I do save it. I fold it over half a piece of cardboard, and yes, it gets crinkled. It's no longer these sleek, silver, shiny things, but it still has, you turn those lights on, and that magic happens regardless.
Yeah.
So the years don't seem to define, you know, its beauty. So,
you mentioned earlier about how sometimes the tinsel would move in little waves. We actually had, growing up, our tree somehow was next to a vent or something, so that when the heat kicked on, so unfortunately our tinsel would go flying through the room, so we had to go and always pick it up every day and add it back to their tree. And so in a silly way, that became a family joke that has lasted through the years, and to keep the pets away.
Isn't that a wonderful,
it is.
I mean, that's such a great Christmas memory, because I, same thing, my grandmother, I feel like her tree sat by a vent, and one, she had the old furnace, and so anytime it would kick on, there was a certain smell, and that
the
to me, I still
burning.
Associate
yes.
with Christmas. And it would hit that evergreen, and it was just like, okay, there was something cozy and warm and wonderful about just the entire memory. So I love that you just mentioned that, because it brought a whole flood of things back for me. So.
Well, I tell you, we tried vacuuming them up, and oh my goodness, that just does not work. Those suckers stick to the carpet fibers.
Oh.
They just, ugh.
You bet. You bet, or else they wind themselves around the vacuum wheel.
Yes.
Sort of thing, get all clogged
so,
up. So, yeah.
It is best to pick up by hand. Now it's time for the big reveal. I should insert a drum roll here for sound effects. But what is this I hear about you working with Netflix? Now, we have not talked about this. I've recently come across it online since you were able to finally share it. And I want to tell people that When you are in agreement with a large company, especially something that's launching at a later date, you generally are required to stay closed-mouthed about it. You can't talk about it, or else you could be in breach of contract. And I never pressured you about it, but it's always been in the back of my mind. So tell us everything about what's coming in November.
Well, as you know, it's been a long road, but yes, it is. It is for the Netflix channel. It is called Holiday Home Makeovers with Mr. Christmas, and I am Mr. Christmas. That name given to me via them, not that I have donned that myself. But no, as you know, it is a long time in coming. In fact, by the time this thing actually airs, it will have been 2 years in the making. And so it's just amazing how long these things take, and it's completely out of my wheelhouse, and so I had no idea, you know, what to expect or whatever. But yes, it is a series, 4 episodes, where I and a group of my so-called elves, 4 very dear friends who helped me out, we go in, we meet with families, we sort of try and grant in some way Christmas wishes. We try to help them maybe see the holidays in a different light through decorations, through thinking of their traditions differently, maybe trying to come up with some new memories or some new traditions. It's a fun show because there's tips that can be taken away. There are storylines that are very touching and heartfelt. There are transformations. I mean, who doesn't love a good before and after sort of scenario?
Especially with Christmas.
So it was great fun. I mean, it technically falls into a reality show type of thing, but it was one of the things that I was extremely strict about when I went into it. I said, look, I am so for it. I would love it, but this has to be about joy. There is no drama. There is no that. This is Christmas.
Oh,
if you can't
I love
be joyful,
that. Yeah.
Then, you know, I don't want to know that the in-laws are fighting and what are we trying to do about that. That's not what I wanted to do. So we had 4 incredibly wonderful families to work with. I just really, really appreciated them having us in their home each time. So it was a remarkable experience. My first time ever doing something like that. First time ever on camera. A huge learning curve for me. They seem incredibly happy. Supposedly the marketing and advertising campaign is supposed to start next week, October 1st. So hopefully we'll start to see some things because they're going to introduce their holiday lineup. So hopefully we'll start to see some things popping up about it. So.
Now, the show is going to be airing on Netflix. It begins in November. Is that correct? Can you give us a date or a week?
I wish I could. They are thinking it's either going to be November 20th or they're thinking about doing it on Black Friday. And, you know, typical of Netflix, and I'll let you know, actually, the first
okay.
whenever I do here. But typical of Netflix, you know, there are the 4 episodes, and depending upon what your viewership or your history is, they have these algorithms set, and so they release all 4 episodes at once, and then you can kind of, depending upon what your preferences are, will depend upon which one you see first. So that'll be kind of interesting to see too. But we're very much hoping that there seems to be a lot of excitement about it. Netflix is really behind it, which is very encouraging. We're trying desperately to figure out second season. That's going to depend upon viewership and how well this one does, but then also too, season 2 is going to be the challenge with COVID. We haven't quite figured out exactly how that is supposed to happen, but season 1 is joyful. There are wonderful stories to be told. I think there is great inspiration to be had from a lot of what we designed and decorated and stuff, and it's just plain fun. So.
Well, I can't wait. I mean, I know that you are an absolute perfectly good steward, honoring your commitment about keeping tight-lipped about this whole little project. And I commend you because I feel like you've been true to your nature, because everything that you said about this has to be about joy, it has to be about the Christmas spirit. That's exactly what I have always picked up from you every time we've had a conversation or exchanged an email. I'm not much of a purist on many things, But on this, I am with you. I would be, because there are certain things that need to be treated differently and respectfully, and they need to be honored in a different way. And I think Christmas is one of those. Whether you honor it as a Christmas party or however you choose to honor Christmas, that needs to speak for you, because I think it is one of the last reserves, especially this year during COVID, where we are hoping for a variety of miracles. But I do believe they come because we believe, because we keep that right. joy and that spirit alive.
I think you're right. When you were speaking, you know, I think the word sacred came to mind. Christmas to me, in all of its forms and all of its meanings, is a sacred holiday. And I think we need to really hold that close to our hearts, and it does need to be protected. So, yeah, I agree with you. It has always been my joyful place, and I have held that really tightly to my heart all of my life, and so I'm hoping that we are able to convey that with the show. You know, I just want people to feel good, because you're right, we need a lot of feel-good moments these days.
Well, I think donning you as Mr. Christmas was just brilliant. It's perfect. It suits you so naturally. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. I've got binge worthy in mind right now, if I can get all four episodes in one evening or maybe on a weekend. But I am going to ask a favor of you before I let you go. Okay, this is the first time since we've worked together on the podcast that I'm going to ask you for your professional opinion as an interior designer, because that's really your day job. You've been featured in magazines. You know, you're very well established there. And this is a nice little sampling of our Christmas cures for the COVID blues series that we're doing right now on Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe. Do you have any time-saving and or cost-effective ways to add a touch of Christmas to our homes?
You know, the first thing that I think about is really just coming back to what the heart of the holidays is all about, and that is truly family and friends. And obviously, you know, there is the religious aspect to it, which is the whole reason for the season. But I think, you know, my immediate thought with decorations is gingerbread. You know, spend the day with your family, with your children. Bake gingerbread. Decorate your tree with gingerbread men this year. You know, just you'll have the scents, you'll have the sights, you have the taste of the holidays, you have the time you spend together, and it doesn't cost a lot of money to do just simple gingerbread men that then act as decorations. The second thing that, and you actually will see this in one of the episodes, because I'm always, you know me, I like abundance and I like a lot of things, but that is not necessarily always economical for people. And like you said, particularly now, there is a lot of hardship out there. So one of the things that I think is just so iconic and couldn't say more about Christmas are either candy canes or red and white star mints. Mm. And they are cheap as can be. You know, a box of candy canes can be 99 cents. And so you can do a lot with candy canes. You know, dollar stores and things have bags of the star mints. You can cover boxes with hot glue and star mints. We made garlands out of them. You just glue them end to end, and you can make garlands for your tree. There's just a thousand things. You know, fill just a clear glass jar with star mints and another glass jar with candy canes. Tuck a little sprig of holly next to it, and it says Christmas instantaneously for pennies. And so there are, and then I think also too, just one last thing, don't forget, or don't overlook what you already have. Try to look at what you have in a different light. Maybe don't put your Christmas tree in the place you did every other year. Try a different place, you know. Try, you know, putting your favorite ornaments on a garland on your fireplace as opposed to putting them on your tree just to highlight them. Think of things, you know, you don't need to go out and spend more money in order to make the holidays festive. You've probably already got a bulk of things around your home that you can use that will create that holiday feel. So
I couldn't agree more. Well, Benjamin, I couldn't be more happy for you. You know, I've supported you on this since we began, but I want everyone to catch you as Mr. Christmas. Now, give me the full title again so everyone knows where to look for it on Netflix coming this in the next month or so.
Yeah, it's coming soon. So, yes, it is Holiday Home Makeovers with Mr. Christmas on Netflix in November. So watch for it. And I so appreciate your support. You have been there from the get-go, and I have been so thrilled to be able to sort of secretly share this journey with you and now publicly be able to announce it on your show for the first time. It's really the first time I've sort of spoken about it, and so I really, really appreciate it.
Well, we are grateful to be a small part of your life and on your journey, and you know you're always welcome here on the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas Podcast anytime.